Tarpon's Audio. The Boogie Monster with Kyle Kinane and Dave Stone.
Contact the best authorities. Check on anything that seems to be extraordinary, no matter what it is.
When you see something that's frightening, it looms large in the consciousness.
It is the middle ground between light and shadow, between science and superstition.
The Boogie Monster, podcasting the unknown.
You got it, buddy.
What are you doing over there?
Oh man, just dicking around.
Yeah?
Just out here dicking around in the rain times.
Raining?
It's Oregon, man. That's all it's doing. Mm-hmm. It's raining, or it's thinking about rain, or it just rained. It's like a 12-year-old boy and boobs. It's either thinking about them, or just beat off to them, or just planning on beating off to them.
Oh, man.
Bad analogy.
Can't get enough.
A very crass way to start the show. I apologize.
Yeah. That's all right, buddy. Sunny and 75 here.
Of course.
So, yeah.
Of course it's sunny and 75. Me. Looking forward to getting down there soon.
Yeah, man. Really beautiful this time of year.
That's beautiful.
the dead of winter. Real quick, I want to apologize. Got construction going on next door, so we're just going to have to work around it. So it'll be all right. Putting in a new roof or something. It's been going on for like a week. Real annoying, but hey, that's what happens when your next door neighbor is 9 feet away.
Well, last week they were getting at it, right?
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, that was across the street. They were sandblasting across the street last week. Never seen sandblasting in action. It's pretty cool. But yeah, noisy, but things are good here, man. Just beautiful weather. Just goofing off.
Just goofing, man.
Just goofing.
That's what's important.
I'm a little nervous right now. Not like in the medical sense. I just got off the treadmill, and okay. I think I took a little too much pre workout because I'm shaky. I'm jumpy, but I'm smoothing that out with a little cannabis. So hopefully we'll see what happens. We'll see. I feel good.
So you took pre-workout, what, like a powder or something?
Yeah, uh-huh.
So you could walk on the treadmill? And took supplements so you could take a stroll?
Dude, I was doing steep incline and pretty good pace today. I was about 3.3. I had 3.3 on the MPH, and I started at around 8. Percent incline, and every 5 minutes jacked it up a notch and ended up at 15%. 15% incline at 3 miles an hour, you're going to break a sweat.
Incline's no joke.
That'll get you going.
Incline's no joke. That'll get you going.
Yeah, I know you think I'm over here just strolling in the park eating a corn dog, but I'm just because I'm not a marathon runner doesn't mean I'm not putting in the work.
It's
I'm defensive.
I know.
Against walkers.
I'm aware that
hey, man, we're people too.
I'm aware that I make the jokes. I know you're getting at it. That's all right, man. I've been out with an injury because of my stupid shit. I bought a balance trainer for my bike, which you just slot it in there, and then you can lean back and practice manuals. Manuals are just wheelies without pedaling, so you're just balancing on the back wheel. But since it's all cold and rainy, I got this little balance thing, so the bike stay still, but you can find your balance point, lean back. But I think I bruised.
So it's not rolling.
It's stationary.
Training wheels or anything.
No, it's stationary. Yeah. So
okay.
But then I think I bruised the bottom of my foot. I couldn't walk for a couple days, and I was hoping it wasn't gout, but I think it was. I think I just bruised the bottom of my foot drinking beers, trying wheelies as a 44-year-old man.
Speaking of feet, where's he going with this? Don't you have one of those, those like electric massager? Is it, there's a name for it.
I got it sitting right here, Hypervolt, yeah.
Yeah, I got Katie one of those for Christmas, and I've been enjoying it. And, man, you crank that sucker up and put it on your feet, on the bottoms? Oh, boy.
You'll get secrets out of somebody.
That's a treat.
It's a treat until it turns into, like, give me your social security number or I won't turn this off.
Oh man.
I mean, given you with your big fan of punishment type of thing, can't wait till you wind up in the emergency room because you fucking you flapjacked your testicles with a hypervolt gun.
Oh man, I wonder how many people have gone to the ER for those things. Because, like, man, you hit the wrong spot, it'll fuck you up. Ours goes up. Ours has six speeds, and that number six, and we got all the different detachable heads and stuff. Man, yeah. You could really do some damage in the wrong area. You'd be careful.
Yeah, you start working over the back, and then it hits a bone, and you could see, like, when people are doing jackhammers and they get loose of it, and it starts bouncing around. It's it makes quick work of a knotted back.
Yeah.
Or any other muscle. It will drill down. You can injure yourself.
It's a good time.
I would recommend it to anybody that does exercises or something and you get stiff muscles or something at the end of the day. But those things are, that's a good deal. Glad you're working with that after your extenuating circumstances. What am I looking for?
Well, here? My body's a temple, and I got to take care of it. You know.
Yeah, man. Some temples are bigger than others. Depends on just depends on how much you love your God. You know, is that metaphor? Big Did old, I go too far with it?
Big old fat temple.
Dave's God requires more worshiping space.
Hey, man. You'll find this interesting. I won an eBay auction today. I've been bidding on records this week.
Yeah.
And finally won one. I lost one this morning. I've been trying to get this Allman Brothers Live at the Fillmore box set, and really hard to find. Retails for about $200. I got outbid at $67, and at the last second. So I was real bummed about that. That I almost had that one, and but I did win. I won a record. I won Death of the Party by Kyle Kinane.
That's what I'm saying. I can get you one of those. I know a guy.
Yeah. Yeah, you gave me Whiskey Icarus, and I already have Death of the Party. I have the black and white splatter vinyl. That's the one I bought off of your label, standuprecords.com. Standup.com?
Sorry. Oh, Standup, yeah, Standup Records.
Yes.
Old Dan Schlissel, I just talked to him. Standup,
yeah. But yeah, they still got some on there, but it was such a good price. I stole it at $17.99.
Well, good for you, man.
Dude, I'm serious. Like, I'm not trying to flip it or profit off you or anything like that.
Why not?
But the Kyle Kinane vinyl is in demand. It's they're hard to find.
$18 worth of demand.
Yeah, no, but that
$2 that less than lucky. The original sale price.
No, that's why I'm so stoked, because it was such a steal. Dude, seriously, I've seen that exact same record for $85.
You know, I want to know what's a real steal. Coming over to my house and just taking some when I'm not looking. You can do that. I don't care. I think I have like maybe one or two copies of each of my albums on vinyl, and that's it. And then I think I have the test pressings from, I forget from which one. But that's it. I don't have any stock. I got some CDs of Death of the Party and Whiskey Icarus are the only ones that run CDs. But Stand Up Records is going to be putting out, I did a split with the band The Slow Death, where I did a story on one half of it, and they did a couple songs on the other half. And they're going to be putting that out soon. And Trampling in a Ditch is going to have a vinyl release soon. I got to seal up some of the artwork for that. So, but yeah, that's coming. We got new Boogie Monster shirts over at Anxious and Angry. Who doesn't like?
Yeah.
Who doesn't like the sales pitch right at the beginning of the show after you've already listened to advertisements from other people?
Oh man, yeah, new merch. Anxiousandangry.com.
Yeah, new Boogie Monster shirts coming. Possibly a coffee. We're working on that.
All kind of stuff, man. It's very exciting.
Moving them units, baby.
Yep. But, dude, you know, it's no secret that I'm deep into the records now, but, man, these online auctions are dangerous. these.
Oh, yeah. Are you new to using eBay? Have you not really used it before?
No, I mean, I've used it. I mean, I've purchased things off there, but and I think I've done a few of the auctions, but just the auctions are so nice. And now there's this other thing I'm addicted to. There's a great record store in L.A. Over in the Highland Park neighborhood. I guess that'd be Eagle Rock, I guess. Permanent Records.
Okay.
Great, cool little record store. But they've got a nice page, Instagram page. And I guess other record stores are doing this. I haven't really seen anybody do this, but now I'm addicted. They sell their stuff online. But so each night for a couple hours, they'll post, like every minute or two, they'll post a new album that's for sale. But you have to – they only have one copy, and they got like 30,000 Instagram followers. So you have to dibs. If you just comment dibs, then you get to purchase it. And I won a couple of those this week. And it's funny, the psychology behind that. Like, I still have to pay for it. I didn't win anything.
Yeah.
But just – I have the privilege to buy this. And, yeah, man, it's pretty addictive, you know. Like, oh, dibs. Oh, shit. Oh, fuck. Someone already got that. But yeah, I've been dibbing a lot over there, been on the eBay, been on the Discogs. I'm just
been on the eBays.
Dude, I gotta calm down.
Get into it, man.
I drove down to San Clemente this week just to check out a record store.
Yeah.
It's about an hour each way. You ever been down there, like south of Laguna Beach?
I used to do shows down there.
Man.
There's a guy. Beautiful. There was a promoter. He used to have a show there and a show in Huntington Beach. And he was a...
I think I know who you're talking about.
Yeah, I mean, I still like the guy. I'm not going to throw him under the bus, but he was he was something. I hope he's out there. I hope he's doing well, but... Yeah, he...
Yeah.
He always, like... He was a strange bird. I remember one time I drove him back up to Hollywood from the show. And he wouldn't let me drop him off. He made me drop him off at an exit ramp off the 101.
Why?
I don't know. I was like wondering. I'm like, is it because, like, is he embarrassed of where he lives, or he doesn't want people to know where he lives if in case he shorts somebody money or something? But like I couldn't even get off the highway. He's like right here. Like pulled over on the 101. He slunk up some exit ramp.
Just tuck and roll, dude.
I don't know, man. Maybe he was between homes. He always seemed like a guy that was not like sunk on it. He was down on his luck.
Mm-hmm.
Or seemed like it a lot of the times, but I always got along with
him. Well, a lot of those in comedy.
I will say that for a small producer that just ran a couple of shows at bars, he would get in there and get the audience like sit. He's very straight. Like, you sit there, you shut the fuck up unless you're laughing. That's acceptable. Anything else isn't. And he's like, everybody's time. He's like, when I give you the light, I want you to look at me and point at me so I know you saw the light. That way, if you go over, you know you went over. like, oh, man, a promoter that runs a tight ship. And is on above board with like, I will pay you this much. Here's how to get here. Like, all right, I appreciate that, man.
Yeah, yeah. Straight shooting out of a promoter is always a refreshing change.
Yeah. So I did appreciate him for that. But anyway, that's the only time I've been to San Clemente was to do some rough roadhouse show.
Yeah, beautiful down there, man. That whole taking the one down from like Long Beach. Down through Huntington Beach and Laguna, Newport and Laguna and San Clemente, man, just right along the ocean, it's insane.
To try, I've heard some complaints about us not talking about subject matter enough as of late, but I wonder, like, you think about Huntington Beach and how it's just like broed out surf city, and I wonder if there are ghosts there that are just like, man, I hate these fucking assholes. Like, they're so, like, I wonder if there's ghosts that are just real pissed about, not just, like, the building, but, like, the community. Yeah. Or if they're just bro ghosts, they're broasts.
Dude, I've never thought about the concept of, like, a surfer ghost. Like, just someone who maybe drowned.
Some fucking idiot. Drowned out there. Yeah, just some idiot.
That ghost got dreadlocks?
I got that ghost. There's crabs in my apartment. I don't have crabs. I clean my apartment, and then my bed sheets, I have crabs. And it's because it's haunted by a ghost of a surfer from 2003.
Oh, man. How's Dirt Nap doing?
OD'd on vodka Red Bulls. oh, Lil D. Lil D's kicking it. She's wilder ever. Yeah, I forgot to mention last week. I think we're getting an OnlyFans set up for her. So.
No.
Everybody got to make that. Everybody got to make that money, dog.
That's awesome.
Right? Rachel's Only watching some documentary about OnlyFans. And, like, we're just taking pictures of this cat over and over again. So we might set up an OnlyFans. And then, like, I will, like, give the money to, like, a humane society or something. But
I still fully understand. Is it just, like, Patreon for boobs or what?
It's just monetized social media. So whatever you want it to be. I think it started with, like, sex work and stuff like that. Which, get paid. Get paid. Yeah. And
do your thing.
But I think it can be whatever you want.
Okay. I don't have to take my shirt off or anything if I were to start one.
I mean, Dave, you're on Cameo, so let's not go judging people who are on OnlyFans.
No, that's true.
It is.
No,
I mean,
I'm not judging. I'm saying
it's more or less the same thing.
I don't want to have to do that. Yeah.
Or like maybe like an Instagram, but a paid Instagram.
Gotcha.
So yeah, we'll get a little DZ up there. I'm sure she'll consent. She hasn't had a problem. She hasn't had a problem with all these photographs so far. So. But she's out. Yeah, she's just out. She lives in the house at night now.
Oh, yeah? She's coming inside, staying warm?
Oh, yeah. Sleeps on a couch. Just they're like a house cat now. House cat that goes out and patrol. I woke up because she can go out. We got a pet door. And then I heard some noises outside in the middle of the night. And I got up and looked. And it was old. I think it was Valentine's Day of all days. And Big Sexy was out. And Little Creep Show was out. And nobody was fighting. But there were some noises, so.
Ah.
Mm.
No telling what they're getting into.
I don't know. Big Sexy out here trying to clap Helen's cheeks. I don't know about it. I don't know how I feel about it. Just be respectful, Big Sexy.
That I hate. Like, Katie and I joke a lot about our cats and Charlie and little personality traits and stuff like that. But did I ever tell you, and I'm not making fun of the topic that I'm about to delve into, but she claims that her nephew's dog, her nephew has this English bulldog, big old dumb looking bulldog, which I love a big dumb bulldog. But this dog just looks even dumber than your average dumb bulldog.
Yeah.
But Katie claims, and that dog's name is Tug. Katie claims that Tug raped Charlie. And not just the dominance humping thing. She claims she saw penetration. And that breaks my heart. That little Charlie's like, what's going on?
I mean, now you're talking about consent within the animal kingdom. I always want to know, like, do animals, like, is there incest in the animal kingdom, or is there an inherent knowledge?
That's a great question.
Amongst animals. Because I know, like, I guess, like, with certain dog breeds, you can't have siblings together.
Oh, really?
Yeah, because they'll just fight each other. There's some, like, something from the being in the same family that they know each other and then are instantly competitive for food and stuff like that.
Hmm.
But I don't know, man. Has Charlie's attitude been different?
No, this happened a while back. This happened maybe a year ago. But no, just you talking about Dirt Nap and Big Sexy just made me think of that. Yeah. And I wonder, like, and again, not making light or joking of the act, but if that did happen, I wonder if he's, and I'm not joking, I wonder if he's scarred by that emotionally. Like, I don't know what that was, but I know it wasn't right, and now it's going to bother me.
Charlie seems like a tweaked out little creature as it is, so.
Or maybe he forgot about it 5 minutes later.
Like, yeah.
Whatever that was.
Do you know bulldogs and, like, French bulldogs can only be born by C-section?
No, I didn't know that.
Yeah, because their heads, because the way they're bred now, their heads are too big. So basically, every bulldog you see shouldn't be here. Like the breed as we know it shouldn't exist if it was in the wild.
Yeah, they're goblins.
I don't. Yeah,
I've seen those pictures of like certain breeds, particularly bulldogs. I've seen pictures of like this is what they looked like 100 years ago, and it's. I saw the one on the bulldog, and it's very, very different. I mean, you know, similar, you know, blueprint, yeah. but. Very different.
Yeah, but they've like Kardashianed them into existence.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Like, I wonder, will that happen with people? Like, you can, like, attractive people wind up hooking up with attractive people to create more attractive people. But what if it's like, mm-hmm. it's slower because the attractive people are augmented? You know, if you're an Uggo, you can get, you know, you can go into the shop and get some work done. Mm-hmm. And then come out attractive, and then you'd lure in another attractive person, theoretically, and then it's creating a more attractive class of society. And then studies show that attractive people make more money. So it's like building a super class. Or is it just, I wonder if this thing was like two ugly people that know they got a lot of plastic surgery done, are having a kid, and they have the ugliest fucking kid. And then they got to keep it hidden until they can get it all sanded and bondoed back together the right way, you know? or bondoed and sanded. Sorry, I understand the process of bodywork, people.
It's like genetic false advertising, though. Like if an Uggo gets a lot of work, gets attractive, mm-hmm. attracts a mate, and that mate's like, hey, I'm going to mate with this attractive person for mm-hmm. to make attractive kids. And, oh, shit, her beauty was not naturally genetic. It was manufactured, so now we got an ugly kid.
But eventually an augmented person and a naturally attractive person would meet up. And so mm-hmm. now you got a half-hot kid, or the chance of a half-hot mm-hmm. kid, and then you got a half-hot kid out there meeting up with another half-hot or mm-hmm. fully-hot person. And these are all subjective terms. Mm-hmm. We realize this, people. Take it easy out there. Mm-hmm. Take it easy. What was this? Somebody had the best joke. It was one of the dudes that ran the show at Crane's downtown about how calm down is the most offensive phrase you could say. Because he's like, imagine he's a white dude. He's like, imagine if I came out. He's like, I'll prove it. He's like, imagine if I came out here and just called everybody the N-word. That would be horrible, right? You'd all be real pissed, and you should be. Now imagine, right when you're real mad because I called you all the N-word, I said, hey, calm down. You'd get way more mad. It was one of those jokes where I'm like, where are you going with this one, man? And then he came to that. I was like, good job. Oh, shit. I'm mad that I don't know his name. He deserves credit. He's one of the producers of the Crane's show downtown Los Angeles. Hmm. But I don't know, man. I don't know what else is going down. That is a weird theory about, well, we like, I do think ugly people make more ugly people.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you ever been to a place where you're like, oh, nobody left this town and you're all rough.
Yeah. Yeah, man. Yeah. That happens a lot.
Yeah, I've been through some areas where I'm like, yowza. I don't know.
Yeah, it's funny how, I don't know enough about genetics and stuff, but it's funny how there's only so many looks, you know? There's only so many faces. There's like 35 models of faces out there, and everybody kind of falls into one or the other. That makes sense? Not that, like, there could be people who look differently but have the similar face, similar genetic makeup and genetic background. Like, I don't know how to explain it, but like in the South, there's certain, like, well, have you ever just been watching, like, I watch a lot of stuff on mute. I watch a lot of documentary stuff while I'm listening to music or whatever. And then sometimes you're just like, I don't know what's going on, but I guarantee you that person talking right now is from Europe. Like, they just have a European face.
Well, I mean, yeah, there's structural consistencies mm-hmm. within groups of people. I mean, it's not in a making fun of way. It's like, okay, black people have fuller lips and wider noses a lot of time. Nordic people have, you know, finer, like fine blonde, almost albino-ish hair. Irish people, a lot of red-haired people in Ireland. Asian people have eyes of Asian people. So it's not that, but like, yeah, there's only so many parts that you can kind of Mr. Potato Head around on a face.
Yeah.
Well, that's why there was something they showed, like all the stuff that was generated by AI, like different faces that were generated, and they just look like someone you'd see at the store. And these are all computer created faces.
Mm.
So yeah, there's only things you could do with like a nose and mouth and two eyes and eyebrows and stuff outside of scars or deformities that are. That's why it's like nice when somebody has like a unique look. I kind of feel bad if like people get self-conscious about the shape of their nose or something. And it's like, oh, it's the one thing that makes you stand out. What is it? I don't know if it's like an Asian phrase or something about how like the thing with pretty people is pretty people are all just pretty, but ugly people are unique.
Huh. Interesting.
Kind of, I don't know if that's kind of a backhanded compliment or something, but like an ugly person's like, well, it's because you look different. Now, a lot of times that's why somebody's going to call it ugly because it's different, and that's not correct.
Reminds me of that Larry David joke. He goes, let me tell you something about really good looking people. We're not well liked.
You ever see somebody that's so good looking they never had to develop a personality?
Most of Hollywood?
Yeah. Well, but it's like you see people that get out there and like you see it more in a stand up scene where people are like, somebody had a fucking tweet where they were like, dear show business, please learn to spot the difference between confident, attractive people and comedians and truly funny people. Because you do see the people like, well, I've just been attractive since day one. And people have always told me I could be whatever I wanted to because I'm bubbly and I'm attractive. So now I'm a stand up. And a lot of the audience will be like, you're right. You are a stand up. And every comedian's like, fuck you. Because we know they're going to get to the top quicker than the rest of us.
Yep. Ugh.
Hey, everybody, faithful podcast listeners. My name is Kyle. I'm the host of Never Seen It. It is a podcast where I have comedians rewrite famous movies and TV shows they've never seen, and then we read those scripts in studio. So maybe someone's never seen Game of Thrones or someone's never seen Shawshank Redemption. They write a script of what they think that movie or TV show is, and we read it in studio. And then we play some fun games. My dad gets involved. It's a really good time. I think if you love movies, if you love TV shows, but maybe you're not caught up on everything that's ever been made in the entire history of the world, this podcast is for you. It's called Never Seen It. I think you're going to love it. You can find it on iTunes, Spotify, Stitcher, wherever you listen to podcasts. Check it out.
Hey, what are you going to do, man? You got what you got when you're plopped into this world.
That reminds me. I'm going to complain a little bit real quick. Have you noticed? You're not on Twitter anymore, are you? You've handed over the keys.
Yeah, I still have the account. Actually, I couldn't sleep the other night. I wound up like going through all my old tweets trying to find bits because I needed some writing prompts.
That is a good way to come up with.
It was. I've tragically underrated tweets out there.
Man, there's a trend going around, and it's I don't know why it annoys me, but it's on Twitter and it's people in show business, whether it be comedians or actors or whomever. And some people I follow and some people that I'm friends with. And, you know, it doesn't bother me that much. It's just an observation. But there's a trend going around where people are tweeting like, hey, Hollywood, cast me in the new blah, blah, blah movie. Or if I don't get the lead and it's more than just like inside baseball. Like, here's what I've been auditioning for. Like, I get that. Like, hey, I auditioned for this and fingers crossed. Maybe I'll get it. But just more of this. I've had a little success. I'm in show business now, so here's my verbal vision board. Just people just putting it out in the universe that I need. And it's just, there's something so arrogant and entitled about it. Maybe I'm taking it too seriously, but, and I don't, I'm not going to read you any examples because I don't want to throw anybody under the bus, but it's just this air of entitlement of like, you know, cast me in this, cast me in that. Hey, show business. I'm buddy, here.
I have to remind myself because there's always some, like I'll see somebody on Instagram or somebody, it's like, just do a bad, like, here's my impersonation of a guy that works at an office and really wants a coffee, but is timid. Excuse, okay, pardon. Oh, maybe just a little cream. Okay, and that's it. And I'll go to their page, and they have 2 million followers or some YouTube number type shit.
Yep.
But hey, man, it's not there. It's as my buddy Monty puts it, compare and despair. If you compare yourself, mm-hmm. you'll despair. It's.
Oh yeah.
I got out of Twitter for the same reason. Like it was like, oh, I'm just getting mad at the way this is being used. It's to be used however you want to. And as we've noted, shame is not part of the equation anymore.
No.
That shame is not an embraced character trait anymore. There's no such thing as shame. Put me in this. Deal with me. This is who I am. You got to deal with me. I personally, if somebody's like, you're an asshole, I would want to know who said it. And if it's somebody I like, well, why do you think I'm an asshole? And maybe it's a behavior I could change. Whereas mm-hmm. now it's like, you're an asshole. And you're like, yeah, deal with it. No, be a better person. You should be a better person if people think you're an asshole. But what's rewarded is that behavior. So, mm-hmm. yeah, there's no shame is not a component.
No.
It's either you could be the biggest asshole you want, but don't be a criminal. Like, don't be a pedophile or a sex criminal.
Mm-hmm.
So, I don't know. What am I? I'm not mad about it. I got rid of that stuff. Try to live a more enlightened life, Dave. Less anger, buddy.
Good for you, buddy.
Got this van coming this week.
Dude, you pull the trigger on that thing?
It's going down.
Really?
It's going down. We're getting mobile.
That's exciting.
We're getting mobile, America.
Oh, that's great, man.
So
congrats. That's a big purchase, man. That's fun.
Thank you, buddy. Well, we're going to have some Boogie Monster adventures and mm-hmm. and maybe some regional tours. Like I said, I got to figure out how to set it up for a heterosexual sleeping arrangement. It's a little snug right now.
Yeah.
I don't know how.
It can be done. Buddy.
Well, like two people sleeping in a tent, mm-hmm. you go. You know, feet to toes.
Mm-hmm.
But it's still.
We slept head to toe. It's that Seinfeld bit where Elaine tells Jerry that her new boyfriend slept over and he goes, already? He goes, no, he had to, some logistical thing. No funny business. We slept head to toe. And he goes, yeah, but your genitals are still lined up.
Yeah. I mean, it's, you know, you can still get double door stoppers playing each other in the morning. So I don't know. We'll see how it works out.
Man, that's funny. I was thinking about this the other day. That classic scene in Planes, Trains, and Automobiles where they wake up in the hotel room and John Candy's spooning Steve Martin. And he goes, where's your other hand? He goes, between two pillows. And he goes, those aren't pillows.
Yeah.
Is that his hand between his balls or between his butt cheeks?
What?
When he says, where's your other hand?
How's it going to be?
Like, he's got one. He's cuddling him. He's spooning him with one hand. And then Steve Martin goes, where's your other
hand? No, I know the movie.
He goes, how would you think it's
his balls? How would you think it's between his balls?
Well, like, maybe it's just down there. What's going on with your balls? Like, he's just got a handful of sack or something. You know, it's soft and cushy down there.
I assumed it's just between two body parts of the imagination of the viewer. Between his legs, between his arm and his body, wherever you want it to go to make the scene the funniest it could be.
Okay, so it's one of those where it's left up to me to decide.
Yeah, sorry, you know, John Hughes is going to make you do a little bit of the work there.
Hmm. Okay. Forever I thought it was his balls. I thought he had, like, his hand, like, between, like, his leg and his sack or something. Like, hey, you know, I'm down here. But then I started thinking between two pillows, could be, he could have his hand in the crack of his ass or something.
That's a more logical idea, between the legs. I'd like to think that I would know where my hand, if it's, I, you know what? I don't know. Because, shit, man, I farted Rachel out of bed the other night.
Out of bed. She had to leave?
Out of bed. All of a sudden, like,
did you wake her up out of a dead sleep?
Yeah, we're all kind of half asleep, and then she's just standing up like, oh, like, what?
Oh, man.
Try to think, like, I don't know what happened.
Mm-hmm.
I basically smelling salted her back into consciousness. Boy. We got a lot of blankets out of bed because we turned the heat off at night. So it's something that could have snuck out 45 minutes, an hour beforehand, but then I shifted, and it's like I just fracked it out of the covers, you know?
Man, I love sleeping in cold temperatures with a lot of blankets. That's a good time.
Well, get ready, because this van is going to be uncomfortable.
That's great, though, man. Congrats.
Yeah, coming to a town near you.
Mm-hmm. Well, you bought a van. I bought dentistry tools last week. Just because. I've always wanted those little scrapey things. And because of a mouthwash advertisement 35 years ago that said something like, you know, not available. The general public doesn't have access to dentistry tools, so use this mouthwash. And I took that to heart. I was like, ah, man, that sucks. Like, I thought you had to have a dentistry certificate or something, you know, to buy from the wholesaler. And then one day I just Googled dentistry tools, and boom, I bought a nice little travel pack, so I'm good to go.
Wait, so this was an eBay purchase that you got your dental tools from?
No, this wasn't eBay. This was just some dentistry, DIY dentistry website or something. I don't know. I forgot where I got it, but I didn't bid on this.
Oh, you know, do-it-yourself dentistry. DIYD.
And I don't know what I'm going to do with them. It's nice to know that they're there, you know?
Are you planning on using them, or is it more of like a collector? Like, people like kind of have a more macabre sense of like old dental equipment, old medical equipment, stuff like that, or collector's items?
No, I'm not. It's definitely not a collector's. I'm going to use it. I'm probably going to have to watch a couple of YouTube videos first.
I would hope so. I'd feel
but
better.
No, yeah, about I'm gonna use them. You know, that way I can stay on top of the plaque. I can keep the gums healthy. So yeah, I'm excited.
I mean, obviously we know Bill Cosby for what he's done horribly, but I was still Bill Cosby himself. It's a funny special.
Oh yeah, and him the one where he's feeding his kid chocolate cake.
Classic bits. Yeah. But him talking about, I think that was the dentist one. Where he's like, you go to the dentist, like, whatever you do, don't pick at your teeth with metal objects. And then they immediately pick at your teeth with metal objects. I got floss stuck in my teeth. And then what God do you believe in after that?
That's a snake eating its own tail.
Oh,
Jesus.
Yeah. You know you got janky teeth when sometimes the floss, it's like basically trying to break a rock with a piece of twine, and then between other teeth, you could basically double dutch that thing around in a loop while it's between a couple other.
Be honest, how often do you floss?
Oh, I'd say like once a week.
Okay, that's good. Yeah, I'm once or twice a week.
Which I know that's not twice on a good. Some people are disgusted by that.
I know. Some people floss twice a day.
I feel it's like I brush my teeth, and flossing is like the midway point between me doing something and the dentist doing something. So that's like, you know, different types of maintenance. But I get in there. I
remember one time, real quick. I remember one time the dentist was shaming me. This is like when I was a teenager. He goes, "How often do you floss?" And I was like, "I don't know, once a month." And he goes, "Why don't you floss every day?" And I said, just off the cuff, I go, "I've been real busy."
Dentists are great with shame. Dentists are like the priests of the medical field.
Mm.
Because, like, think about it. All the jokes are about how you're ready to lie, about how often you floss, like, all the stuff. Mm-hmm. Like, you're already filled with guilt going there because, you know, you're going to be questioned about how you're, like, you know, they're like priests of your physical body, not of your out mm-hmm. of your spiritual body. I was thinking about why, because I was, like, people were like, I wish they'd get back to these other topics, which I don't know why. The Reddit is now, somebody put up a picture of scallops with bacon and fettuccine, like, pro-quality shit on that Reddit.
Nice. Scallops.
But I realized, you know what? It's harder to talk about silly stuff, conspiracies and this and that, because it's not silly anymore. Like with the shit with like QAnon and all these people that are like, it's turning into like real shit. It's like when people joke around with a Ouija board and all of a sudden then people are dying under mysterious circumstances. Like, it's not funny anymore. It's real. Like, I think maybe that's why it's been harder to talk about, either because there's stuff in the real world that's bigger. There's bigger issues affecting people. And those issues are with conspiracy theories and goofy shit like this.
Mm-hmm.
And I read an article somewhere where it's like, okay, whatever that, whichever one of these two dingbats that are in Congress, the one fucking dipshit who wanted the flags lowered halfway because of Rush Limbaugh's death, but didn't ask to have them lowered when the cop died defending the Capitol, and the other one who looks like she was beaten around the face enough to look like a cowardly lion, and I don't know which one thinks like the Jews had space lasers to start California. Either way, like. Yeah, that's, we all laugh at that stuff, but it's the psychology of still tying the idea of Jewish people in something bad.
Yeah.
That's ridiculous. Space lasers, but putting the idea out there like Jews, something bad. Jews, something bad. Just creating that correlation in people's minds is like, that's where the damage is.
Mm-hmm.
So... maybe it's harder to kind of like joke about goofy stuff, but we'll still try, won't we, Dave?
We'll still try. We can try today. I got a real serious topic.
And I know I led us away from the dentistry stuff, but now I would like to go back to it. What are you? Sure. How are you cleaning these things? You got used dental equipment, Dave?
No. I think it's used. No, new. I don't think it's used. I think they're new. Yeah.
But you got to, like, you know they sterilize that stuff at the dentist.
Yeah, because it's going in multiple people's mouths. But it's just, this is mine now. I'm not sharing it. The same way I don't sterilize my toothbrush. Just rinse it off.
Yeah, oh, yeah, good. I don't have to. Good point. Yeah. For some reason, I thought it was used like a vintage.
No. This is straight out of the factory. Still has that new dentistry tool smell to it.
All right. Is Katie going to let you poke around in there?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, she encourages me to experiment with that kind of stuff.
I mean, in her mouth.
Oh, no. Maybe, yeah.
Because you're either going to be working by feel or by a mirror image. And I can't do anything where, like, people can look in a mirror uh-huh. and then still maintain their dexterity. I look in a mirror and think, like, all right, my left, I'm a mess. All these Zoom shows and Zoom conferences where I don't have the mirror flipped on.
Mm.
So if I'm looking at myself in the screen, my left hand is my right hand that's moving. And mm-hmm. every time I'm just touching my face or fixing my hat or something. Cause I'm like, oh, it's cockeyed. No, it's more cockeyed. What the fuck?
Dude, try using a mirror to look in the back of your head and give yourself a mohawk. That's an exercise in coordination.
It hasn't been a thing to concern myself with for...
Yeah.
Why don't you just put a piece of tape down the center of your head and just cut everything around it?
Oh, dude. Like you're painting a room.
Yeah, man. Tape it off.
Fucking brilliant.
Get a little strip of 3M blue on there.
Oh, dude, that's what I'm going to do.
You can get all kinds of cool stripes.
It's real janky in the back. Like the front part looks good because I can cut that just looking directly into the mirror. But then to get the back, I have to turn around, use a second mirror to reflect off the original mirror. And it really is. It's a challenge.
Why'd you have Katie do it?
tape it off. She loses patience. I've tried to get her. She's done it a couple times, but a lot of times when I'm ready to do it, she's not here. She's at work or something. So I'm like, all right, I'm gonna go ahead and knock this out. But yeah.
You get a little painter's tape up there, man.
That is brilliant.
Take pictures of you using painter's tape to make the mohawk. and that's gonna be a Patreon exclusive.
Uh-huh.
You can put it up wherever you want. I'm just trying to push the Patreon.
Oh, man. No, speaking of Patreon, I meant to say this when I was talking about your album, but somebody asked me on Instagram, like, why would you buy that? Or, you know, just I bought it too. I'm not going to flip it. We'll give it away on the Patreon page. How about that? So maybe do like a monthly raffle, not a raffle. Like you don't have to pay, but I'm saying, you know,
just told them it was only 18 bucks online. We're only going to raffle. Yeah. Just find one for 18 bucks.
No, that's what I'm saying. They're not out there, man. They're not out there right now.
Oh, really?
Not on disc. I think there's one copy of, I Liked Your Old Stuff Better.
I think there's one
copy of that available, but yeah. The market's up and down, man. Sometimes I'll get on there and I'll see a few of your things pop up, and then, but right now, no, man. That's why I had to snag it. I mean, on that sucker.
I'm assuming my albums are the first to go when somebody needs some cash. As far as the collectors, well, we can move these Canane platters for a couple bucks first. Maybe cover our light bill for the month. If it gets worse, then we'll see.
Oh, should we get into this real dumb topic today?
Oh.
Kind of real dumb one.
I mean, when Dave says it's going to be dumb.
Yeah. This is one that I've always rolled my eyes at. So you know that this one's... All right. As it's no secret, I'm a huge fan of Bigfoot. Probably my number one topic, my number one cryptid. Love Bigfoot. I mean, that's the beauty about all this stuff is you never stop learning, Kyle. I'm still learning new things about Sasquatch and Bigfoot. But personally, I think that I think Bigfoot's real. Okay. And I know
real definition people, of the word learning we're using here.
Yeah. I know people will mock you. Some people think it's ridiculous. Of course, that's the whole point of our podcast here is exploring this kind of stuff. But I sincerely think that Bigfoot is out there. And I think that. Probably it's just a offspring of Gigantopithecus, who was an actual creature that roamed the earth like 100,000 years ago or whatever. Proven by science that a 10-foot bipedal ape named Gigantopithecus existed. I think it's just an offspring of that's gone undetected. Some people think, and that's what we'll talk about today, that Bigfoot is not necessarily a biological creature from this earth. Some people think Bigfoot is either an alien or placed here by aliens as some sort of test subject. And I've always rolled my eyes because it just feels those are two great but different topics. Like I love aliens and UFOs and I love Bigfoot. But my knee-jerk reaction is it's ridiculous to try to combine the two. Like, why would Bigfoot – and also, like, Bigfoot has hair. It's a mammal. It's not an alien. But then if you think about it, we have an idea of what we think.
We don't know that aliens aren't mammals.
Exactly. I have an idea of, like – well, there's a lot of reports of, like, the grays and stuff like that. And we've talked about that before. There's plenty of different species of aliens if some of the theories are to be proven correct. But it never dawned on me like, oh, yeah, maybe there could be an alien that is either a mammal or appears to be a mammal and has fur or hair or whatever. So, yeah, the more I started thinking about it, I'm not saying I believe in this, but I've got a few little stories and a little research to back this up. But, yeah, some people think that Bigfoot's an alien. Other people think that aliens brought him down here to be some sort of like test subject or whatever. A lot of these theories come from the fact that there have been many, many sightings of Bigfoot and UFO in the same general area. So,
okay. Easy thing to make fun of is Maybe there's dumb people in those places. But
some witnesses have even seen Bigfoot creatures exiting UFOs, coming down the old, you know, the old tractor beam, coming down that or coming down some sort of stair. But there have people who have claimed to have seen Bigfoot exiting a UFO. So that's pretty crazy. Another theory. So I've been reading a bunch of these. There's a few. Well, there's a handful of people have done a lot of research.
Listen, I've been watching The Wire again, and now realizing, like, wait a minute, this drug money is going straight to the senators. It's the whole thing. Maybe it's all connected, and that's the big reveal.
Yeah.
But sorry, I cut you off.
Oh no, that's fine. That's the beauty of all these stupid theories is trying to figure out what's connected to what, you know. But I've always just rolled my eyes at the concept that Bigfoot was an alien. But who's to say? There's another guy who wrote a bunch of articles about it. He thinks that not only are Sasquatch aliens, that he believes that they might be criminals or undesirables from an alien race that have been brought down here in exile. Like, hey, get out!
We're the Australian on Earth.
Yeah, exactly. Another reason people seem to think there's some connection between UFOs and Bigfoot is many times Bigfoot sightings occur when there are orbs present. That seems to be I don't want to say common, but a lot of reports of people seeing Bigfoot and these weird orbs. Now, the orb thing, a whole nother topic, well, not topic, but a whole nother theory, is what if these orbs are portals to another dimension, and the Bigfoot, the reason they're so elusive and we rarely see them, is maybe they're going in and out of dimensions via these orbs. So,
what if, all right, you know what? I'm going to go along with this one. For imagination's sake.
Uh-huh.
But what if, all right, they're like, you got Bigfoot, big hairy creatures stomping, just terrestrial stomping around.
Uh-huh.
That they're the elite foot soldiers. Like the alien, that like the UFO aliens are the dweebs.
Uh-huh.
You know, those are the nerds that come up with all the stuff. Yeah.
They're back at the control center.
Yeah.
They're on the computers.
But here, you know, instead of thinking of extraterrestrial, which is out of this world, off of this earth, there's just a legion of like, all right, we all work together. This genre of creature works alongside aliens. Like, all right, you're on the ground collecting information. Mm-hmm. You're on the ground spies. We're back at headquarters, looking over it. And the orbs thing, yeah, they do. They jump into the orb, go back up to the ship or wherever to report back. That's why we can never catch a Bigfoot. It's like, oh, they're going to see me? Throw an orb up.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, there's been a lot of eyewitness accounts, too, of people seeing Bigfoot and then it literally disappearing in front of their eyes. Not it ran off into the wood line. I'm standing here. I'm seeing this thing. It's 30 yards away. And then it literally vanished right in front of my eyes. There's been several of those accounts where people say, no, it literally disappeared. It did not run off. I saw it vanish. So, and of course, you know, all this is predicated on eyewitness accounts, which is not the best evidence, but imagine that someone's telling the truth. Imagine that someone not only saw a Squatch, but then they saw it literally vanish in front of their eyes. I mean, what do you?
Yeah, I don't.
What's that about?
I don't know about the prisoner thing. Mm-hmm. I would think they're down here doing a different type of research.
Mm-hmm.
Or you know why? Yeah, why are they always like wooded areas and stuck to certain climates? But I guess they're not, given how there's a Bigfoot for every area.
Yeah. There's this guy named Peter Leeson. He was a professor at George Mason University A few years back, he did a big report, some research. He plotted reported UFO sightings on a chart along with reported Bigfoot sightings. This dude said it was an intriguing pattern. He said states with more UFO sightings also appeared to have more Bigfoot sightings, and that six of the top 10 UFO and Bigfoot states are the same. So he says there's, and you know, that's pretty vague, but there could be something. The fact that the same areas are seeing Bigfoot and UFO sightings. Give some specific accounts. He details an encounter that occurred October 25th, 1973, when a group of farmers from Fayette County, Pennsylvania, observed a brightly lit dome-shaped UFO, approximately 100 feet in diameter. The locals drove towards it. They saw a pair of gargantuan creatures covered with thick, matted hair, luminescent green eyes, and long arms that dangled below their knees. A farmer's son fired a gunshot at the creatures. One of the creatures then raised its right hand in the air. I don't know what that means. At that very moment, the UFO disappeared. Then the two Bigfoots escaped into the woods, and they were never seen again. Several cases like that. There's a couple cases where they talk about Bigfoot raising his hand in the air. I don't know if that – could that be a signal? Beam me up, Scotty. I'm ready to go. Get me out of here. Who knows?
Oh, yeah. Maybe they got a little – maybe. Defensive move.
Another case, a dairy farmer named William Bosick in Frederick, Wisconsin. Let's see, 1974. It was this case was featured in the February 75 APRO bulletin. APRO stands for Aerial Phenomenal Research Organization. They got a bulletin and magazine goes out. I don't know if I've read that exact one, but there's one I got to hold of through MUFON. I love these. I love physical media in terms of like magazines and shit, especially magazines about this kind of stuff.
Yeah, some hard copies.
Yeah, some hard copy. You don't see that shit at the Barnes & Noble. Anyway, according to this report, Bosack was driving home about 10:30 at night. He spotted an object on the side of the road ahead of him. It's approximately 1 mile from his farm. This APRO bulletin further described it. He said he was driving slowly because the patches of fog, his headlights reflected off the object, so he slowed as he approached it. It had a curved front of glass. And inside, I could see a figure with its arms raised above its head, Bosack told reporters. Object was standing still, appeared to be 8 to 10 feet high. Transparent glass area of the UFO, which Bosack could view. The occupant was bullet-shaped at the top, tapered to a peak. This human-type figure, Bosack referred to it, had hair sticking out from its side of its head. Ears protruding out about 3 inches. They were shaped like a calf's ear. I don't know what a calf's ear looks like. I'm trying to think what a cow
sounds like. Okay. Sloth from the Goonies.
Yeah. It had no collar or shirt. In the front, though, it appeared to be clothed in some tannish brown colored fitted skin tight diver suit. Both arms were extended above its head. The hair stuck out from the outside of the arms. There was no beard, but there was hair or fur on the upper part of the body. Again, with the arms raised. I don't know what that's supposed to be about.
Maybe they've just been seeing how often, you know, hands up, don't shoot has been some sort of a safety phrase, especially if they're somewhere in North America. Maybe they've been trying to employ that one.
Back in 1888... A rancher described an encounter with some friendly American Indians that he met in Humboldt County, California. Love that area. The accounts that this rancher told, talking about meeting these Indians, he said, they led me to a cave where we saw a hefty humanoid creature covered in long, shiny black hair with no neck, sitting cross-legged. One of the Indians told him that three of these, quote, crazy bears had been cast out of a small moon that dropped from the sky and landed on the ground. The moon then ascended back into the air and left the three crazy bears behind. Could the crazy bears be Sasquatch, and could this moon thing be a spacecraft? That's a speculation there. Like I've said before, I trust This is one of the main reasons, not the main, but one of the main reasons I believe in Sasquatch. When Native Americans go, yeah, that's a thing, I just trust them. I feel like they're more in tune with what's going on with nature, with what's going on out in the wilderness. And also, like, Native Americans, who are they trying to trick? We're lying. Like, when these Native American elders are like, yeah, this is a thing. I'm like, okay.
I mean, all right, I'll get in trouble for this one. But everything was a spirit to Native Americans.
What do you mean?
Oh, the thirst. I have the thirst spirit, so I know I need to visit the lake god to appease the thirst spirit. Well, the sun god gives way to the moon god. Everything's a spirit that's out there.
Yeah, but that's no different than any other religion.
Like, there's never... even Catholicism, like, nah, that's a tree. You know?
No, but I'm saying, just, I get what you're saying, that yes, there's a lot of that in their culture, but that could just be like the religious or spiritual side, but they could also be like, that aside, we've still seen these 9-foot hairy creatures running around the woods. We've seen those a lot.
Again, I'm going to get in trouble. And but, you know, like, there's all this, you know, like the atrocities that were committed against indigenous people. But is there ever a point where there's like one indigenous tribe or group of First Nations people where it's like, no, they were actually just way off. They were just bad at it and they did not live long. Like, as all the other times, this celebration of their resourcefulness and their oneness with the land and their peaceful attitude and reverence for their resources. And has there ever just been a tribe where they just openly shit in their water supply and and just sport hunted all their food animals and were just like not good people, you know? Like, they were like... horrible. I wonder if they're, and like, if you're not going to hear about that, because, like, listen, we kind of need all the good PR we can get for the cause, so let's not bring up this tribe that was just openly horrible.
Oh, man. No, you're right. I'm sure there were some tribes that just sucked.
Like, on the inverse of it, was there any nationality of white people that were just like, hey, let's leave it alone. Maybe we don't need to take any more. Like, is there a story of any country of white people going, what we have, we'll make do with what we have here. No need to bother them over there. They're doing fine. We're doing fine. We don't need their stuff.
What's the fun in that?
No, gotta go reach out and dominate. Mm-hmm. Take advantage of everybody's trust. So.
Another theory suggests that that these Bigfoot are aliens that are just hiding out, biding their time, waiting for humans to self-destruct. At which point they will take over the earth.
Oh, give it like 18 months.
Mm-hmm.
I think we're almost there. You guys must be having a real party.
Yeah. I still don't know what I think about this. This is a topic we need to do soon. Just the concept of portals, but them popping in and out of different dimensions through orbs or portals or what have you. That's pretty intriguing to think about.
Yeah, I wonder, again, thank God that there's just physicists and out there working on these kind of things. Like, thinking about this with a mental capacity to do so.
Yeah.
Like, the fact that we have an atom smasher. The fact that somebody, that science got to the point where it's like, hey, we're going to need a few million dollars. We got to build a big ring in the ground. So we can shoot particles at each other and blow them apart. And there's an embrace of science to do so. Really, much like all of technology, it's going to be pushed through because of military or because of porn. That's it. But it, like, think about it. All major technological advancements, it's like for fucking or killing. It's for creating life or destroying life. That's how everything gets moved forward at a rapid pace. So either get like defense spending on portals, or you teach nerds that they can like virtual reality stuff is going to move very quick when they start hooking it up to a fleshlight.
Oh yeah.
Like there's some dork out there already that just has like a fully automated VR fuck box that he just straps in. It's like an old Hyundai Sonata seat.
Got a seatbelt?
Yeah, well, you can't even want to fall out. You can't fall out. You got your other, because your other bits are also in other items.
Yeah.
That's that. It's got a fleshlight. It's got VR goggles. And it's the whole shebang. And that guy is going to sell that for a lot of money. And it's weird at what we balk at, like, oh, defense spending, got to be safe. Give the military a blank check to come up with ways to murder people. But then let's look down on the fact that porn was the one who decided VHS and the ones who decided DVD and how to go forward with that sort of technology.
Yeah.
But if there's apps,
technology behind dating apps and stuff.
Yeah. Hooking up. Mm-hmm. If portals can be invented, they will be from one of those two people. If it's, you know, maybe we won't have a 90-day fiance anymore because you have a portal. And what do? I transport through the portal to some Russian location and then get boned by my dream girl for an amount of money, and then I come back. There's your one world government. There's your new world order right there. Once you got portals bouncing all over the globe.
That's true.
I have no idea how portals would work, by the way.
Dude, not a clue. I did some research recently. We were going to do an episode on alternate universes, parallel universes, and oh boy, is that science way above my head. Like, I would just have to present it like, okay, it's imaginary. Just like, there is apparently some science behind it, like black holes and all that, all the astrophysicist bullshit. It's completely a foreign language to me. Like, I literally spent like a few hours trying to watch this documentary, rewinding it. What'd he say? Rewind it again. What? I couldn't follow a fucking thing. I never felt so dumb.
Yep. Above my pay grade.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. That's why I still can't sort out that we're in a simulation.
Yeah. Even that one's tough to comprehend.
Cause to me, it's almost like, not that it's as dumb as the flat earth, but it's like, who cares then? Like, there's no winner. There's no revelation if it's a simulation. There's no like, well, we're in a simulation. Well, fucking simulate me a pizza or whatever. Come on. Uh-huh. Come on, game player.
Yeah.
Simulate. But like, it wouldn't matter. What if somebody like, this is a simulation? You'd be like, it doesn't change my reality.
Yeah.
Like the flat earth thing. Like the earth's flat. Does your life change at all?
No.
So who gives a shit about that one? That's why I think it's so easy for trolls. I think 90% of the people, not 90%, but I think a large percentage of people are just like down with flat earth. Cause again, there's no shame in existence anymore. And it's fun to be a troll. It's fun to watch people get bent out of shape because they think you're serious.
Yeah.
So that's what I think. There's some flat earthers. Man, I listened to that Down the Rabbit Hole podcast with the guy. He's mostly like a 9/11, tries to debunk the debunkers or what have you, or debunk these. But he had one gal on there that was like talking about flat earth, and she was so fucking stoned and stupid. I was angry at him for continuing the interview because he has gotten with some people where we know flat earth's stupid, but then they can at least have a conversation about why they believe in it. And even though they're getting cornered with facts and science, they can do some sort of mental gymnastics where you could tell that they want to believe in what they're saying. And this lady was like, you just interrupted her watching Friends reruns. And she's looking at her phone while she's trying. It was so dumb. And it's like, this seems like a representative of that community.
Yeah.
Because like, oh, it's flat. Then so what if it is? What does that change about anybody's life? You're in a simulation. Great. I'm in a simulation. I gotta go to TJ Maxx in the simulation to get new pants. Like, it changes nothing about your life. If you find out ghosts are real, holy shit, that's going to be weird. When I die, I might still come back. Aliens are real. That means that there's universes to be explored that have intelligent life. Bigfoot's real. A creature is hiding in the forest for all years. These would affect my life. A simulation doesn't do shit for me. There's alternate universes. Can I go to the alternate universe? No. Then who gives a fuck? What does it matter? He's like, you're showing me pictures of cool places to go on vacation, but I have a medical condition that I can't fly. It's like, you're just being a jerk. Now you're just being a jerk. You're just showing me places I can't go to.
Yeah. If I can't experience, what the fuck do I care?
Yeah. So I don't understand the... If you can travel now, if you can tell me that you could travel between these alternate universes and what's happening in the alternate universe, I know, like, it's like the how every choice you make is the alternate universe. Like, you left your house 5 seconds later, or you went left instead of right. And if you would have gone right, you would have seen this old friend crossing the street, or you would have looked down at your phone and hit somebody, or like, and those are all happening simultaneously. You're just living in the one that you, these choices you made, you're in that one. Like the, the alternate, an alternate universe is just a universe where you didn't eat your protein powder and go on the treadmill today.
Mm-hmm.
Nothing happened. You're just less jittery. And because you're, but maybe because you were less jittery, you did something differently. Like, you didn't dial a wrong number accidentally on your phone because your thumbs were jittery. And then that wrong number interrupted somebody where they're like, I don't know this number. And it stopped them on the sidewalk instead of walking out in front of traffic. They stopped to look at the wrong number on their phone that you accidentally, like, that's the idea, I think, of alternate universes.
Yeah, well, and that definitely exists, your version of that. Because I think about that shit all the time, like how little bitty decisions can lead to huge things. Like, Katie and I were talking about this the other day. For example, like, we met at a restaurant that we both worked at. But the day I got hired, I also got offered a job at another restaurant. And I had, you know, I made a decision to go with the one. And then a week later, I met her. And 8 years later, here we are. But had I taken the other job, you know, I mean, we would have probably met through comedy. But just pretending, you know, just based on...
Yeah.
Had I taken the other job, I may not, I wouldn't have met her, and who knows where I'd be right now, you know? So, and we can all find thousands of those little things in our own life. You know, had I taken this course in college instead of that course, maybe I would be in that field instead of this field, you know?
Yeah. Well, it's a wonderful life. It's the movie, It's a Wonderful Life. Mm-hmm. Look what would happen if you didn't exist or you made these choices. There's been plenty of, you know, pieces of art created about it. And then some people live in that. Some people live in this universe fantasizing about the alternate universe. Oh, if I only would have done this, if I only would have done that.
Yeah.
Which is why I try to live in this reality, making those choices, instead of living in the other reality where you just regret the choices.
Yeah. Yeah. I've never been one to woulda, shoulda, coulda.
Yeah,
well, I don't like living in the past. People who put too much emphasis in their past, like, I mean, yeah, that's part of who you are, your experiences. But to me, the past is boring because there's nothing I can do about it. Let me spend my energy figuring out the now or the future.
It's references. It's good references. Oh, I remember when I did this and I was wrong. Let's not do that again.
Yeah, you can learn from it, but.
I think the lesson, It's more like a motivational thing. It's like, well, are you proactive or reactive to life? Are you sitting mm-hmm. around hoping something will happen, playing scratch-off tickets? Or you're like, you know what? I'm going to take some chances and do some unorthodox things or maybe non-traditional approaches and see if that brings me happiness as opposed to just this kind of, I don't want to be insulting to it, but like a more of a safe lifestyle.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So maybe that's the alternate reality that we got to work with. I don't know, man.
Who knows? Hey, any chance, did you see, did you watch any of that Mars Perseverance rover thing? You know, we landed last week.
I was watching a couple clips of them just kind of scanning around. Pretty wild.
It was so funny to watch, like the home base back at, I guess that was JPL there in Pasadena.
It was, yeah.
But you've got, they had dozens of scientists and engineers, like literally some of the smartest people on the planet,
yeah,
sending a robot that they designed to another planet, and they're all wearing matching polos and khakis. They all look like the sales team down at CarMax, and these are the smartest fucking people in the world. I just thought that was weird that you're that smart and you're doing something that advanced, but you still have to wear a uniform.
Business casual.
But they were all wearing the like khakis and a blue polo. They looked like they worked at Kinko's. It was so weird.
Well, listen, you know what? They're busy designing $1 billion worth of equipment to land on Mars. You don't want somebody going, well, that shirt doesn't match with those pants. And then they drop a screw and then we could talk. There is stuff going on over there. We've talked about the Jack Parsons connection and all that weird shit. But shout out, my buddy Steve actually worked on that Mars rover. Steve, really? Who I know from mountain biking and is the most southern.
You have friends that smart?
I didn't realize it. Because I met this dude. He's actually my buddy Steven's brother. Or no, I'm sorry. It was my buddy's brother. He's named Steve. Buddy named Chris. I met Chris through like comedy and doing mountain biking. Uh-huh. And they're like old, like he's like a BMX pro, this guy, Steve. BMX pro was working, I think, at Specialized or some bike company when I met him. And he's the most Southern California, like laid back. Like, what's up, bro? Hell yeah, man. Just out shredding, bro. Just shredding that gnar, having a good time. He's like, yeah, I got a new job, bro. Working at NASA, dog. I'm like, what? He'd been going to school for aeronautics.
Wow.
And I would see him. I would go ride the El Prieto Trail, which goes up right behind JPL, right behind where they designed that stuff. And I'd see him coming out of work. He'd go by the parking lot and I'd be unloading. I'd gone riding with him there. And super good bike rider. And just happens and then shows pictures. He's like, yeah, we got to put on the all white suits. He's like, everything in the, because it's all gold plated, because I forget why gold is the material they need to use. And he's like, yeah, there's like a bin of the gold they're not using. He's like, guys, come on, man. We could be moving this stuff for a little overtime pay, huh? It's like joking around. Yeah. But he was saying, he's like, yeah, there's some old military guys in there, and they're talking about how there's tunnels built into those mountains behind JPL that have been sealed off because God knows what kind of equipment's being held in there to keep out of bounds from people. And he said, yeah, there's some old guys with some real stories in there.
I bet.
But, they were testing actually a drone that they were going to use on Mars. I was driving my RC cars down by their parking lot after one of my bike rides. And they were setting up for a drone. And the guy had to come over. He's like, is it on 2.4 megahertz frequency? I'm like, I don't know, man. It's just a children's toy. And he's like, oh, because ours is on 2.4. So I know I can't tell you because it's like public space. But if you don't mind turning off your toys so we can work on this Mars drone. And then he's like, you're welcome to come over to our tent and check it out. So I did. He's like, yeah, we were going to go out to Death Valley to practice because the terrain was more similar. but it was so hot out. It was like when it was like 110 out. They're like, fuck it. Let's just work on this in the parking lot. So they were flying the little Mars drone. I saw them setting it up in the parking lot over in Pasadena.
Dude, that is so cool.
Yeah. I don't know if it's on this rover or what have you, but we're on Mars. We landed on Mars, man.
That's crazy. I guess there was some video out that was deemed to be fake, which was a bummer. But I think Patton Oswalt tweeted it. Yeah. But just like a little 60-second clip, and it just looked like someone with a iPhone standing on Mars, panning around, like it was so crystal clear, and it looked so rad. So I don't know if the actual footage was fake or the edit was fake, but regardless, I'm sure there's some legit amazing footage.
Well, if Mars does look like Death Valley.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So.
Yeah, that's crazy.
It doesn't look like it'd be difficult to fake with like a little orange filter.
Mm-hmm.
Wild times, dog.
Wild times.
We up in that bitch. Sure. So yeah, at least one scientist said that at NASA when it landed. We up in that bitch. I'd like to
revisit that topic soon. I know we did it a few years ago, but just the concept of colonizing Mars.
Yeah, I'm guessing we left a lot of meat on the bone with that. So yeah, I think we could revisit some things.
Oh man. You're probably not going to plug this, so I'll plug it for you. Dude, is there a new season of Paradise PD out now?
There is. New season of Paradise PD is coming out. Is it March 12th? I don't know. I put it on Instagram. I think it's...
That's awesome.
Sometime in March.
Right now. What is it? Season 3? How many of y'all done?
That's season 3 that's coming out.
Okay. Right on, man.
That's exciting.
What's the name of your character again? I know you're the dog.
Bullet. Kind of like guns, maybe where you keep your coke. It works for the character. I think this Wednesday will be tomorrow night on Zoom. If we can get the tech right, pay attention. I'll put it on Instagram if it goes through. Not on Zoom. I'm sorry, on Twitch. Uh-huh. I am going to try and play Red Dead Redemption 2, a game that bores me to fucking tears. And our good pal Mikey Carrazza is going to actually try and encourage me while I play the game.
What's the premise of that game?
It's the Wild West, and you're just a cowboy. It's like Grand Theft Auto, but in the Wild West, which sounds awesome, except when all the games that you play are like, oh, I'm stealing a car, and I'm going fast, and I got a gun that's I got a rocket launcher, and I'm shooting down helicopters. This is like you just have to gallop on your horse from town to town. It takes fucking forever. And then I never got the controls right, so I always accidentally shoot the sheriff or some shit in town. And then they're chasing me out to another county. I got to get to the county line so my alert level goes down. Then your horse gets fucking tired. It sucks. So our good pal Mikey Carrazza is going to be on with me trying to cheerlead me through the game. Oh, man. So I don't know what time, but stay tuned to the Instagram for me. Tomorrow, this will be coming out the 23rd. So stay tuned today on Instagram, and I'll announce if we can get the tech right. We'll be doing that Wednesday night, the 24th.
Oh man, that's awesome! Well, good luck with that, man.
Yeah, what you got? You only got a couple records left.
That weed's kicking in. Sorry. Yeah,
it's all right, man. Right on time.
There's a few left at futurevampireclub.com. It's either Future Vampire Club or Future Vampire Club Records. That's the label. They got a few left, but they're sending me a grip of them too. So as soon as those get here, I'll start selling those, you know, on Instagram or my website or whatever. But yeah, if you want one, there's going to be a few left. So nice. Yeah, those are available. Cookbook still available. We got the new Boogie Monster merch.
Yeah, that's anxiousandangry.com.
I'm on Cameo. I've been churning out those cameos, man. Yelling at people's uncles. Yeah, that's been fun. Just other than that, just
do you lure them at first? Do you get like real southern and puffy shouldered about it? Be like, listen, man, that world's changing out there. I get you, brother. And then like at the end, like big hearty, go fuck yourself from the rest of your family.
Oh man. No, I haven't tried that technique, but I'm still I'm still learning the craft of Cameo, so but that's been fun. But yeah, if you want me to, you got 24 bucks and you want to give a personalized video or personal, you know, it doesn't have to be happy birthday or anniversary. I, you know, your enemies, whatever. I'm here for you.
I'm on Cameo too. My rate's $1,000. Have not had any takers yet.
Did you really set it at 1,000?
Yeah, they approached me, and I was like,
"Yeah, I get that."
I was like,
"You don't want to do it."
Gross. I'm like, I want to charge $10,000. Like, well, comedians usually start out between $10 and $50. I'm like, "What's the most I could charge?" Like 1,000. Like, put me on for 1,000.
Oh man, yeah, I saw. There's a few people on there for Floyd Mayweather Jr., the boxer. His is 1,000, and every now and then you'll see like just
isn't somebody, he the guy who can't read?
I don't know. I don't know.
So emailing him the message you want to tell somebody's out.
Yeah, that's true. But every now and then you'll see someone who was just like a bit part on a sitcom 20 years ago. It's like $599. Like, who the fuck is... That's ridiculous. Man,
that's that nostalgia pricing.
Yeah, I guess so. I don't know. But yeah, I'm on there if anybody wants it. But that's fun.
I enjoy
doing those. I feel like there's something else I wanted to plug, but who knows? Yeah, that's enough.
We'll get them next week.
Yeah, man. You got Family Zoom coming up?
Family Zoom in a couple minutes. Right I'm on. Doing, this doesn't help for tomorrow, but I'm on Hot Tub tonight, so.
Oh, right
you're,
on.
You're listening to this on Tuesday? You're lost, nerds.
Oh, boy. Well, all right, man. Good times.
Settle in that weed. You did a good workout. You did the incline up to 15. That's no joke.
Yeah, I'm out of control.
I'm doing my dumbbells, doing my little prison exercises out in the garage.
There you go.
We're getting there.
Fit.
Listen, man, we gotta thin up for this van. All right, it's gonna be tight quarters, so we gotta lose. We both gotta lose as much weight as we can. This is our own Mars rover. We both were like astronauts. We gotta make weight to squeeze into this thing.
Oh man, God, adventure awaits.
It sure does. Buddy.
Looking forward to it. All right, big dog. Will you hold down the fort? Tell Dirt Nap we said hello.
Yeah, look for that OnlyFans. Yeah.
We'll talk to you next week, buddy.
The Boogie Monster.
Podcast Network.